people who were born on the same day as me, in the same year as me, who didn't get what I got. And so then, when I consider that, I am so humbled. Why should I have been given the gifts that I've been given? Why should I have been given healthy kids? Why should I have been given a home that where the roof doesn't leak? Why should I have been given no reason? No reason. Nothing I did, because I was given that at birth. So nothing, I hadn't done anything yet. So I didn't earn it at all. I just got it as a gift. And so then all of a sudden it changes everything. Changes everything. Because I think, how can I use what I didn't deserve, but got anyway? And where can I find some place to put this into action for somebody else? Hi, this is Holly, and welcome to Study with Friends. I'm so excited you're with us today. I'm sitting with my friends, Carol, Allie, and Romy, and we're really wrestling with how to embrace the humility of Christ. If you miss any part of this or want to hear it again, visit studywithfriends.org, because as disciples of Christ, His humility is a really important quality for us to understand. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul teaches us about Christ's example and how we should respond. We're talking today about how deeply we can be blessed by embracing a humble heart, and rest assured we know that we need God's help to do it. Let's get started. Entitlement. Mm-hmm. If I'm doing something for you and feeling entitled to a thank you, I can get bitter about that.
And are you doing it from a place of heart, like Allie was saying?
Clearly
earlier?
Not.
But I think Jesus did it fully knowing what he would receive in the end. He knew after dying on the cross that he would be resurrected and would reign ultimately. I mean, he did know the end of history. So I think for us, it's not that we just do it and we know we'll never be thanked. Oh, aren't we good that we're willing to do this without even being thanked? It's that we know this humility is developing character in us and all that. I don't know the exact verse, but it builds, and we're ultimately exalted in heaven when we die, you know. So we do, if you can keep that mindset, we do have an ultimate thank you, but it doesn't come from the person you served. It comes from what we receive in Christ.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Yeah. So. Like with me, like that, like I know I always say when I die, he will tell me. You know what I mean? When I die, I'll have coffee with him. Like he will tell me. But the people of this earth, right. I'm okay for them not
right.
to tell me.
Right.
Like
right.
I'd rather have them not tell me than to tell me something falsely. So like I don't even want to thank you.
Right.
You know? But you're right. With the like, but in the end, I know who I'm doing it for.
Right.
So yeah, I just wanted to add that. Like it's not, you know, it's a God thing.
Mm-hmm. I think my husband does a better job of that than I do. I know he does. because I do get stuck in the reciprocal situation. If I feel like I've done a lot for somebody and they don't relationally seem to reciprocate, that really can make me bitter about that relationship. And in case it's helpful, I'll share that he always reminds me to be pretty sure that person is probably doing the best they can. Whatever that looks like, probably the best they can do. Most people aren't walking through life not doing the best they can in most areas. Most people are trying to do their best. And that if this is all they can bring to the table, that's the best they can do. And my husband has a servant's heart like yours, Allie, and he never, ever gets upset. People ask him again and again and again for help or favors. He never gets that. I'm like, how I don't understand how you don't get annoyed. They're asking you for help again. Like, he's like, yeah, I'm so glad to be able to give them help. I'm like, what? And he's, you know, I'm going to say, I shouldn't go too deep into bragging about my husband, but I don't mean it in a bragging way. I mean it in like, I really have learned so much. I still have a lot to learn. But, you know, like he has two generators. If our power goes out, he wants to still be able to help somebody else. And he keeps like all these tools in the back of his truck. And if he, you know what I mean? He just always thinking about how he might be able to be available,
be prepared to help somebody else. That's awesome.
Like, he's always thinking about that. And I think probably, especially in the trajectory of our marriage, I think I'd like to think I'm better now than I used to be. But before, I was like, I need to be prepared to help myself. Okay. I think so differently than he does. And I don't like that about myself. I want to be someone who, and then, you know, I'm sure maybe you guys have the same problem, like the things your spouse is strong in, you're like, oh, well, he'll help everybody. I don't need to help everybody. So there's that too. Like, he cooks. I'm like, do I really need to learn how to cook? Greg's really good at that. Let's just balance out like roles and responsibilities. I'll be good at other things. You help and cook. You know, and that's not good either, because it's not like, you know, or like, I can't call Allie in every time I have a friend who needs a servant's heart. I'd be like, I would like to introduce you to Allie.
And I'd be like, okay.
I know you would. That would be bad for me though, because I need to grow that heart. So, but such a key phrase, what you just said, don't expect a thank you. That's a gigantic part of humility. She just like tucked it in there like it was nothing. But it's
but that perspective that you just said about Greg, like his attitude is, I'm so glad that I can help.
Yep.
Like, God has provided for me in whatever way, the strength, the tools, the money, whatever.
Know-how.
I'm so glad that I am equipped to be able to help you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I remember, and they don't live near us anymore, and I don't know that they'll ever listen to this, so I'm going to say, we had a neighbor. So my husband is in technology. So everybody in his life, especially, like, the less you know about technology, the more you think he must know everything, which he does know a lot. And my husband was out there in the, like, the truck was literally all soaped up. And this neighbor came over and was like, I'm having a computer problem. Can you help me? And Greg was like, absolutely, I'd be happy to help you. And he stood there. And Greg was like, oh, right now? And he was like, well, if you could. And I happened to be, I was like, the soap.
He was washing the truck?
He was in the middle of washing his truck. And this dude was like, yeah, now would be good. And Greg just put this sponge down and went and helped. I was like, what?
I love him.
I know. Awesome. I love him too. But that's I don't awesome. Get that. I'm like, you got to set boundaries. Yeah. You can't let people. He doesn't feel that way. And so it's better. It's better. And again, I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying I have an example in Allie and my husband and other people, many people in my life who are so much better at this than me. So I wish I could give you examples from my own life, but I can't. So I have to use the examples of the people around me.
Can I share a story?
Please.
Because like I did what he did. It was kind of funny. Well, I haven't talked to my friend, like this person, in 5 years. And I got a phone call 2 weekends ago. And she goes, I can't find my daughter. I was like, okay. I go over to her house. I'm like, okay, I'll be right there. I go over to her house. I'm like, what do you mean you can't find your daughter? And she's like in bed. Like, she has had these heart issues. I'm like, okay, but if I find her, you have to allow me to do what I need to do. And she goes, yeah. I'm like, okay, fine. So I know a lot of bad people, you know, drugs. Like, I know a lot of bad people, strippers, know them all. So I call them up. Because she's 14. This is like the third runaway. Called a couple friends up. I'm like, hey, where are these people? So I went to go find her. And the moment she saw me, I was like, you need to get in the car. So she gets in the car. And then I took her to certain places for her to see what she could turn into if she keeps continuing on the path that she's continuing. So I called my friend at a strip club. And I was like, do you mind if you come in the back door? And like, she's 14 years old, letting you know she's 14 years old. So I go to her, you need to take your sweater off. If you're going to act this way, you need to take your sweater off and just be with your tank top. So I sat there with her. Of course, I was protecting her and everything. Sat there with, meanwhile, her mother is like having a heart attack at home. And I brought this girl back home around 2 o'clock in the morning. And I walk into the house and I go to her. I was like, you need to go to your mom's bedroom and tell her that you're home. I'm like, I'm not your friend. I'm your authority. You need to go tell her that you're home. So she was completely relieved because she hasn't seen her daughter like in 3 days. So I was like, I took the door hinges off. I'm like, give me your phone. put the phone in the bedroom. I'm like, you're not getting your door back. Like, you ain't leaving. Took it off the door, put it there. I don't know why she listens to me. There. And then, like,
you're a little scary.
I can be.
I think you have to come to my house.
Yeah, but you know, I can be. And that's why a lot of people don't like me.
No, you that's just have to know when to wield it. That's all.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, her mom was completely, like, distraught. And, like, I couldn't leave her like that.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I gave her a back massage. I rubbed her feet. I made dinner for like 2 days and then I leave. And then, like, a couple days later, I go back in to check how, like, her daughter's doing. And I'm like, good, you're making cookies. This is where you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Can I have a cookie?
Yeah.
She doesn't say anything because I know she's still mad at me. She gives me a cookie.
The daughter?
Like, yeah. She gives me a cookie. And I'm like, and the door is still off the hinges. I'm like, good. That's where you're supposed to go. Kiss them all. Make food. And then I leave.
Make food.
Yeah. It's always food.
It's always food.
Italians.
Well, like, it's always
one
food.
Thing we know how to do is cook for you.
Yes.
Even though I say I don't cook, when someone needs food, I will show up. Even
but
if
the
I
whole
have
point of
it.
That story is that I could relate to Greg mm-hmm. because, like, he doesn't think, he just does. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he probably just got the soap and he just like, oh, okay, I'll just go over. Yeah. But, like, you don't, he doesn't, that gift that he has made that man, that person's life 10 times better. Mm-hmm. Like, I pray for this 14-year-old little girl that, like, she acts like a little girl and not like a person of a different nature, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, I see her mom and it's like, hey, you need to now start taking care of yourself. Like, that's your job. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't, like, I know you need to talk to me for 5 years and I'll always be there for you, but you need to start taking care of yourself. You need to figure out why she's doing what she's doing.
Mm-hmm. So, a couple things I'll lift out because you won't, but... If someone called me after 5 years, it might be hard for me to drop everything in my own life, which I happen to know you have a lot going on in your own life right now. And you could have been like, well, I have a lot going on in my own life and I can't help you right now. But here's some advice I can give you, or here's some people I can connect you with, but I can't show up for you.
I was
right
available.
Now. I know. So you're just you gloss over a few of the things that I know I would have tripped on. Mm. I would have tripped on. I would have been like, well, my first priority is my kids. And you know what I mean? You can really spin up
a
whole bunch of reasons why you don't show up for people and serve. You can. Believe me when I tell you that. Then I could tell you stories about how that gets done. I can spin up all kinds of stories, all kinds of reasons why I can't, you know, serve someone like that. You know,
I think it's a self thing.
Oh, I don't like drama. You know, I need you to come stay at my house and let rub off on me a little more.
But if you truly believe someone
else is
better than you or more significant than you, then their problem, their computer problem, is more important than you finishing washing mm-hmm. your truck mm-hmm. or their, I think everybody would agree their missing 14-year-old is probably more important than whatever you were doing at that yep. time, you know, but... I guess I stumble on that. I'm supposed to think someone else is better than me. Like, yeah. How do you balance that with, in Christ, you are everything. You're loved. You're, you know, how do you then, in light of that, internalize, but other people are better than me or more significant than me or more valued?
Yeah. I was so glad that we were doing this today, because this humility biblically for me has been the hardest thing to figure out based on what Carol is saying. And the question that had rolled around in my brain was, okay, I'm supposed to think less of myself, but I am supposed to be who I am in Christ Jesus. So none of this matches up biblically. And I, you know, going back to that C.S. Lewis quote, this was such an eye opener mm-hmm. where I finally figured out, oh, that's what it means mm-hmm. by humility. So this was what you said, Carol, is something that I've been trying to figure out for so long. What does that mean? What does that look like? How do I walk in that and still know who I am in Christ Jesus, which is not to feel bad about or less than somebody or bad or, you know, mm-hmm. so it was really enlightening.
Does it help? It shines a light on the perspective to take But it sounds like maybe Carol could hear more about the how. How then do I not think less of myself, but think of myself less? What does that look like in life? Think less often of myself.
I think it goes back to the examples that Allie and you brought up about your husband, is just putting other people before you, or thinking, having empathy for other people, or thinking of others more than you think about yourself. Like, you want to get something done, or okay, well, and to what you said earlier, this person might be in a really bad situation right now, and putting yourself in their shoes and being empathetic and compassionate mm-hmm. about the other person versus putting your own needs first.
Yeah. Does that make sense, Carol?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think if you grasp the concept that being a servant is the highest
calling,
right. activity, like that act of service is, in the eyes of God, the best thing.
Yeah, but Carol, you can't do it
yeah.
to be the best.
Right,
you
right.
can't do it with a mind that says, oh, I have to do this because this is the highest, because that's
right. You're doing it out of
down.
A heart of value.
Pride.
Right.
Yeah.
Heart issue.
It yeah, that's
down
still
to
a
what
heart
Allie
problem.
Said. It's a heart
No, I'm
thing.
Saying doing it in a in an attitude of humility. Right.
Yeah. But it's right. hard.
Sure.
It's hard because okay. you're, I think you're really exposing a lot of the things that we trip over.
Right.
How do I think of others, consider others more significant in this translation, above myself, while still maintaining my full identity in Christ?
I could agree with you with how you think, but I see it differently. I see it in the way of how we're conditioned, like our society, our government, where we come from, where we allow ourselves to go. You know, like, I feel that, and I have such a lot of political arguments with certain people because I don't understand why they are the way that they are sometimes. But when it comes to making ourselves higher, I really truly believe it's because we're conditioned that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We are governed that way. Like, even music is that way. Mm-hmm. Like, we are programmed to be in this human. We're human. We're programmed that way. And then we have to go into a different mindset of Jesus, of like how he was programmed and where he went and what he did. We have been molded to put ourselves first.
Mm-hmm.
We have been molded to put our needs, our wants, our ambitions, all our things first.
Accomplishments.
Everything. Because, like, you know, we come to this world alone and we leave in this world alone. So, like, we're conditioned to think that way. So I really think it is a heart thing, but you also have the drop from the head to the heart. That, like, it's not a bad thing that you think about yourself. You're supposed to think about yourself. But in our society, we have elevated self so highly that we disregard people completely, mm-hmm. even the people that that are being taught, how we teach our children, how our government is being governed, what rules are being done. That it's like this subliminal messaging that we have taught our society from years past, from the moment that creation was happened. Like, look at Adam and Eve. There was like a form of self there, you know, when within the garden, they completely disobeyed. You know, they put their personal
selfish interests,
their personal thoughts first before the Father's.
Mm-hmm.
So we as human, as flawed humans, are conditioned from creation to think of self first. And then kind of like unraveling that hardness, it's sanctification. It is the part of cutting away, and it's not pretty. It will be ugly. It will be painful, and it will be lonely. But we as people in society never want to feel that loneliness. You know, we don't want to feel that because we sacrifice our own self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that whole sacrificing of self-worth is putting it differently. Like, your self-worth isn't what you're conditioned in. It's conditioned with what he was in.
Well, and you're hitting so many notes that I want to draw out again. First of all, Self is the easiest way for the enemy to attack a person or a family or a culture.
Mm-hmm.
To remind us the same way he did with Eve. Don't you want to have the knowledge of good and evil? Don't you want to have wisdom? You will not surely die. He's appealing to the self of her self ambition. And it's played out in every culture, in every piece of history since. And you're right. When you say conditioned, the culture has become so self-involved. It's very, I mean, you know, of course, Christianity is countercultural in every way, if you're doing it right. Because the enemy, it says right in the Bible, the enemy is the ruler of this world right now. And so we should be countercultural because he is helping the culture focus on its on self, and Jesus is asking us to focus on him. But back to what you were saying, you said that so well, Ellie, by the way. Back to what you were saying, I'll share one of the things that's been a game changer for me when I get this right, which I often don't. And we did a series a little bit ago on our identity in Christ. And I shared during that series that I finally, even at this advanced stage of my spiritual walk, had this light bulb moment of what my identity in Christ really means. And I truly believe that our identity in Christ is, when we have it right, it's at the heart of everything. And when we have it wrong, it's at the heart of everything. And so in this circumstance, it's very easy for me to marry those two things that you say feel disconnected to you. If I can rephrase what you said a few minutes ago, you said, how do I embrace what God tells me I am, accepted and loved and cherished and adopted? How do I embrace that and think those good things about myself while also thinking of others as better than myself, or thinking of others more often than myself, or considering others more significant than myself? How do I do that if we're all children of God and whatever? For me, the way that those two roads, where the place where those two roads intersect, is in our identity in Christ. Because if we truly understand our entire identity is in Jesus Christ, it's natural for me to put other people before myself. And let me flesh that out.
Please.
If my identity is in Christ, that means that my identity is not in anything that I've done. My identity is not in my career or how well I've done in that career. And it's especially hard for people who have in fact done well in their career, who have had accolades and who have had, I've shared this and I don't want to beat the same drum, but I was very good at what I did. I still do it, but I lay that down. Like Paul says, I consider it all loss for Jesus Christ. Now, if I'm good at what I do, I identify that means that if I have a smart brain, okay, let's say I'm really good at business. And that means I'm smart. And I could identify that as I'm a strong businesswoman. That could be my identity if I'm misplacing my identity and it's not Jesus Christ. Well, I have to strip out what made me good in business. God gave me a good brain. He didn't give everybody the, I mean, we see people with severe developmental disabilities. Why should I not have that? So only because God said, you get this and she gets that. And so anything that I have, anything that I do can be stripped away. Even if I decide that my identity is in my ability to walk up those steps, not everybody can walk up those steps. Whatever I have, whatever I can do, whatever I have accomplished, it all comes back to a gift that God gave me. It doesn't belong to me at all. Mm-hmm. And so anytime my identity is, I know more than you, I can do more than you, I've done more than you, anytime my identity
work
is wrapped,
harder than you.
Yeah, anytime my identity is wrapped up in something I can do or be or say, I'm misplacing the root of that accomplishment in myself. Because the truth is, there are plenty of people who were born on the same day as me, in the same year as me, who didn't get what I got. And so then, when I consider that, I am so humbled. Why should I have been given the gifts that I've been given? Why should I have been given healthy kids? Why should I have been given a home that where the roof doesn't leak? Why should I have been given no reason? No reason. Nothing I did, because I was given that at birth. So I hadn't done anything yet. So I didn't earn it at all. Mm-hmm. I just got it as a gift. And so then all of a sudden it changes everything. Changes everything. Because I think, how can I use what I didn't deserve, but got anyway? And where can I find some place to put this into action for somebody else? Mm-hmm. Because I don't deserve it. Hi, it's Holly again. What a merciful example Christ sets for us through his humble heart. I'm so thankful for the ways his word helps me know him and to know myself better. I hope you felt that gift during your time with us today. We're a weekly Bible study, just like you find at your local church. If you're not involved in a study like this, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week in every situation. In Matthew 10, Jesus was sending out his disciples to preach the word. He instructed them with this command, "Freely you have received, freely give." We think that applies to us too, so we've created many resources for you on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you miss any part of this program or you want to hear it again, you can visit us there, or you can look for other Bible studies, all of which are free to use and print. studywithfriends.org. Just like those disciples who relied on the generosity of a host for food and shelter, we're also 100% donor supported. So if you're particularly blessed by one of the resources we work hard to provide, please consider a donation of any amount. A monthly partnership is especially helpful, and no amount is too small. We send quarterly gifts to our monthly partners to say thank you. Resources like a pocket Bible, or maybe a book about prayer, or a daily devotional. You can donate one time or become a monthly partner at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We also love to hear from you via email at info@studywithfriends.org. That's always a huge encouragement to us, so please don't hesitate to write if you have the inclination. See you next time we study with friends.